We hear in our first reading from Leviticus that we are holy, for I, your Lord God, am holy. But how can we become holy? Our readings today give us the answers. Even when Jesus tells us that we must become perfect, just as our Heavenly Father is perfect, he not only tells us, but shows us how we can become holy and perfect. In the book of Leviticus, God spells out, "You shall not bear hatred for your brothers and sisters in your hearts. Take no revenge and cherish no grudge against any of your people. You shall love your neighbor as yourself." I thought the word cherish placed with the word grudge was a bit odd. So I looked up the meaning of the word cherish. It means to look after with love, to be fond of, to keep in one's heart. So when these words are put together, means someone who loves his grudge, or is fond of holding onto the grudge, or keeping the grudge closely and securely in your heart so as to never forget it. How are we supposed to love our neighbors as ourselves if we keep securely locked in our hearts a grudge against them? So if you are a person who holds onto grudges, how can you love even yourself? Even St. Paul is arguing against this kind of loving a grudge more than others, or even God himself. St. Paul is telling the Corinthians that because of their baptism, they have become a living temple of God, and they are to act that way. Instead, they argue among themselves that because Paul or Apollos or Cephas baptized them, they belong only to and will only follow whoever baptized them. They forgot whom they truly belong to. So St. Paul tells the baptized that they are wrong and they need to repent. The Corinthians would rather listen to the deceivers than to God. They were fooled by the foolish who thought themselves wiser than God. But God always catches the foolish in their deception and lies. St. Paul tells them they need to get their acts together. If, he says, you are going to boast of anything, boast that you belong to God because of your baptism into the Lord Jesus Christ. In our psalm, we are called to imitate the psalmist by blessing God at all times. In doing so, we will never forget who we belong to and follow him with all our hearts, minds, and souls. When we do follow him, we know that when we faithfully and truthfully repent by confessing our sins to him, he will pardon all our iniquities and heal all our ills. That he has in the sacrifice on the cross, and will continue to redeem our lives from the pit of destruction because of his mercy and compassion. When we confess our sins and faithfully do our penance, God no longer remembers them. They are washed away like a chalkboard washed clean. No trace of sins committed are left on our souls. This is how much God loves us and how much he wants to share in us to share in his holiness and perfection. Jesus in the gospel we just heard shows how fulfills all of the laws of the Old Testament. For he says, you have heard that it was said, an eye for an eye, and a tooth for a tooth. But I say, offer no resistance to one who is evil, and so on. He isn't telling us that we shouldn't defend ourselves, but that it is God who will take revenge on those people who do harm to his chosen ones. Even when he states, you have heard that it was said that you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, that you may be called children of your heavenly Father. What happens to our souls when we pray for our enemies? Oftentimes it changes our own way of thinking, and in time changes the hearts of the enemy. Jesus tells us what our Heavenly Father does for all people. For he makes his sun rise on the bad and the good. He causes rain to fall on the just and the unjust. In other words, his graces and blessings fall freely upon all peoples, whether good or bad. In doing so, every human life has a chance of accepting or rejecting the good he wants all creation to have. And if we don't pray for our enemies, which are many, how can they become open to what God is offering them? Scripture tells us that our prayers will soften even the hearts of the hardened criminal. We also must remember that every human life is a creation of God, made in his image and likeness. Thus, every human life is holy, sacred, and not to be violated in any way. But we have those among us who reject even the simplest of teachings of God and the Church on matters of abortion, birth control, the death penalty, same-sex unions, and so on. There are many, even in the Church, such as priests and religious sisters, who deceive God's children by teaching false doctrines, by causing confusion and division within the temple of God. St. Paul forcibly tells us what will happen to people who teach falsehood rather than the truth. If anyone destroys God's temple, God will destroy that person, for God's temple is holy, and you and all human life from conception to natural death are that temple. Today and every day we are called to be holy and perfect as God is holy and perfect. Is it easy? Not at all. It is the hardest thing we can do. However, if we are truly honest with ourselves, we all desire this holiness and perfection. But we must remember that we are never alone. Only in humility and obedience to the Lord, as a beggar of his grace, can we achieve this kind of holiness and perfection. Today, in this sacrifice of the Mass, we celebrate Christ's victory over sin and death. Let us allow his body, blood, soul, and divinity to nourish our souls so that we might forgive others, even as we have been forgiven, and pray for our enemies, so that our